I know I is a word meaning yes. And when the chairman says the eyes have it, he isn't referring to eyeballs. But the truth of our text is that the eyes don't have it. Into the tomb is where the befuddled followers of Jesus think they'll find answers. You can't see this in the English, but in the Greek it's clear. The Greek phrase "into the tomb" is used 6 times in our text. Mary Magdalene comes early into the tomb. Peter and John go running into the tomb. John outruns Peter and came first into the tomb. Peter, arriving after John, barrels right past him and enters into the tomb. Then John enters into the tomb. And last of all, left by herself, Mary Magdalene stoops over into the tomb. That Greek preposition "into" shows movement. But only Peter and John actually go into the tomb. The word "into" is used here because inside the tomb is where they suppose Jesus' body was. And after all, isn't it all about his body? Inside the tomb is where they expected to find answers. And they expected to find them with their eyes. Did you notice the prominence of verbs of seeing? The text says Mary saw the stone had been removed. John bent over and looked at the strips of linen. Peter saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth folded by itself. When John finally goes inside, he saw and believed what? He believed what Mary had said. They had taken the Lord out of the tomb. That's all he could believe based on seeing, because he still did not understand the scriptures that Jesus must rise from the dead. More verbs of seeing. Mary saw the empty tomb. John saw it, and then with Peter, saw all that was in and wasn't inside the tomb. After they left, Mary saw 2 angels in white seated where the body of Jesus had been. Then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize it was Jesus. But in the end, Mary proclaims to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." 7 times verb for seeing are used, and they use 3 different words. When it says Mary saw the open tomb, and when John first saw the empty grave linens, it uses a Greek word stressing the thought of the person who's doing the seeing. When it says Peter saw the whole scene, and that Mary sees the 2 angels and the risen but not recognized Jesus, it uses a Greek word that emphasizes a careful examination of the object seen. A 3rd verb for seeing is used when John goes all the way into the tomb. This Greek word emphasizes what the person sees. John sees conclusive evidence that Jesus isn't there. This Greek word is used again when Mary proclaims, "I have seen the Lord." But this time it's a Greek perfect, which means I have seen him, I still see him now, and I will forever see him. Something happened to Mary. She saw the empty tomb. She saw angels. She even saw the risen Jesus. But she only thought him the gardener. None of what she saw gave her a risen Lord. Peter and John, they saw even stranger things. But their eyes didn't give them a risen Jesus either. They saw the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head, neatly folded up. And then they saw the sarcophagus, the mummy casing that had contained the body of Jesus. It was still the height and length of a body. But the depth, it was sunken because no body was in there. Now, where do I get that image from? John is the only gospel writer to make the big point of telling us Nicodemus bought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds, to bury Jesus according to the burial practices of the Jews. we know what those practices were. Myrrh and aloes were applied to strips of cloth, and as they were wound around each limb separately, and then one big shroud was wrapped around the entire body. Peter and John saw this empty casing with their own eyes, and yet they didn't believe Jesus was risen. That's important, because you think if you could see Jesus, that would be that. You think your eyes would settle the matter for you. If Jesus would just appear to you, well, then you'd believe. Then you'd be a Christian. Then you'd take the faith seriously. Then the afterlife, the next life, the eternal life that a risen Jesus is proof of would be more important to you than this present life, this worldly life, your day-to-day life. But Jesus doesn't even do that with Peter and John. He doesn't appeal to their eyes by appearing to them. No, he sends Mary to appeal to their ears. If the eyes really could have it, then Jesus would go around appearing to people now. In the first reading, Peter addresses that point. He says, God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. Only witnesses God had chosen would go on to proclaim the resurrection. The rest would do what Matthew tells us the soldiers did. They saw everything that happened, and they reported everything that happened to the chief priests. Neither the guards nor the chief priests believed. The chief priests bribed the guards to say Jesus' disciples had stolen his body, and the guards took the money. Money before their eyes could make them forget they saw a risen Jesus. My eyes, your eyes, even the eyes of the disciples, they don't have it. In Luke 16, Jesus tells you that. He says, even if someone rises from the dead, people will not believe it unless. And what follows the unless, well, that's the rest of our text. Mary is converted from looking for a dead Jesus to worshiping a risen one. How? Seeing an empty tomb, seeing angels, seeing a living Jesus, none of that stopped her tears. Mary could only see a gardener. It doesn't say, as it does with the Emmaus disciples, that she was kept from recognizing Jesus. Only unbelief closed her eyes. But what opened them? See the scene. Mary is stooped down, looking and listening to angels in the tomb. Something they did, perhaps lowering their eyes when Jesus appeared, made Mary turn to see Jesus. Remember, she is described as seeing, using that verb for closely inspecting. But her eyes still tell her nothing. Nothing but a gardener is there. Then she turns back to the empty tomb. We know that's what she did because the text reports that when Jesus spoke, she turned again towards Jesus a second time. She only recognized Jesus when she was turned away from him. She only knew her Lord had risen by his word. Haven't you ever been watching a movie and you cannot call the name of that actor? So you close your eyes. And that's it. You know that voice. Your eyes were no help, but your ears were. Mary instantly recognizes Jesus and oh, the relief. Jesus had cast 7 demons out of her. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, those demons would be back. It's the same for you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that if Jesus isn't risen from the dead, we are the most miserable of all people. Why? Because the sins we thought paid for and forgiven, they're not. And the death and devil, well, they're not defeated either if Jesus isn't risen. Jesus died to pay for sins. If Jesus stays dead, it means he didn't succeed in paying off your debt of sin. You're on the hook for the balance due for a lifetime of sinning if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And that means death and the devil, well, they still have business with you. Death insists on paying its wages to your sins. And the devil insists on claiming souls who've sold out to sins. But Jesus is risen. The word of Jesus convinced Mary. She whirls around and says, Rabboni. Not rabbi. She says, Rabboni. Rabboni was only used by Jews in prayer to God. Mary is acknowledging Jesus is the Lord and God. He said that he was all along. The devils can't come back now. Jesus has succeeded in doing what he had promised. You cannot think that Mary or the disciples went to the tomb Easter morning not remembering that Jesus had promised 3 times to rise on the 3rd day. His enemies remembered that. That's why they posted a guard at his tomb. The Emmaus disciples remembered that. That's why they stayed in Jerusalem till the 3rd day. Mary remembered, but her ears, not her eyes, told her Jesus had fulfilled his promise. He had said he was giving his life as a ransom for many. He had said he would die an innocent but brutal death for the sins of the world. And he had promised he would rise on the 3rd day. And now his living word tells her it's all true. And then he tells Mary and us what his resurrection means. It means Jesus is our brother. He always had our flesh and blood, but our sins separated us from him. But those sins were nailed to the cross on Good Friday. They were buried with him in his grave. On Easter, he rose without him. So our sins no longer separate us from Jesus, our brother. And with Jesus as your brother, you have God as your loving father. Are children afraid of loving earthly fathers? Do children of loving earthly fathers fear what might come from their earthly father? Don't children who have loving earthly fathers expect only good things from them? Then how much more can you expect only good things from God your Father, now that Jesus rising from the dead has made you part of his family? But you can't see this with your eyes till you hear it with your ears. That's what Jesus says in Luke chapter 16. Unless a person hears God's word, they will not believe, even if someone rises from the dead. Without the word, you'll never see baptism as anything other than just plain water. Absolution without the word will only be seen as wishful words on my part. Without the word in communion, you will see no more than bread and wine, and you'll see death as just death and sinners as just sinful. But with the word, everything is different. Haven't you ever been in love before? Haven't you ever waited to hear from your beloved? And when you didn't hear, wasn't life as dark and as dank as a tomb? But when you did hear from your beloved, wasn't the whole world a completely different place? That's what happened when Mary heard Jesus' words. That's what was supposed to happen to the disciples when they heard his words from Mary's lips. And that's what's supposed to happen to you when you hear his words from mine. It did not happen in the disciples' case. They remained in a dank, dark tomb, even if it was empty. Let it not be so for you. I have words from your beloved. He has risen. He has not just forgiven, but he has forgotten your sins. He has chained that devil up, and even when you do die, it is no longer death when you die in him. Moreover, you are to see that water rebirthing you and these words actually forgiving you. You are to see that bread and wine there are the body and blood of your risen Lord. While Mary could not hold on to Jesus because he hadn't yet ascended into heaven, you can hold on to him because he has. You can hold on to him in the water, in the word, in the bread, and the wine he has left to you with words. Let your ears have his words, and your eyes will have your Savior. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.